To share this morning, precious time remembering our precious Savior and all that He's done for us. What a blessing to know Him as our Savior and Lord and King. And I'd like to speak on the subject of the deity of Christ, of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are various religious organizations that would deny the Lordship and the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Scripture does teach very clearly that Jesus Christ is God. And I was thinking what Oystein mentioned about using the sword incorrectly, and that's what some have done to teach that Jesus was just a prophet or a good man when he was here and so forth. But we certainly see how the Scripture teaches that Jesus Christ is God. Actually, the very first verse in the Bible, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And that word God there is plural. So we know there's the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Actually, 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17 says, too, that now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. It speaks of the freedom we have with the Holy Spirit. Looking at Isaiah 9, verse 6, it prophesies about the coming of the Lord Jesus. And this verse clearly shares how Jesus is God. It says in Isaiah 9, verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." So that shows us clearly that the Lord Jesus is God, shows us his deity. He's born a king, he's the King of Kings, he's a Lord of Lords, as the Scripture teaches. And then in Matthew 1, verse 23, it says, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us." So certainly this time of year, as Christmas approaches, we rejoice and celebrate that a child has been born, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who is wonderful. He's a counselor, he's mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And the way for us to be given peace and joy, and there's no other way. There's no peace outside of Christ. And so we are very privileged to know him. Three verses earlier, it says in Matthew 1, verse 21, "And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." So here, Emmanuel, God with us, and here, Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And certainly we celebrated that again this morning, how he humbled himself and became our Savior. And the wrath of God was poured out on him, as Rick was sharing. And so we have the blessing of not having the wrath of God being poured out on us. And you know, for someone to save people from their sins, that can only be God that can do that. And Jesus Christ is God. He's the Supreme One. He's the preeminent one. God himself. I'd like to look at Hebrews 1, verse 1 to 10. A wonderful passage. Hebrews 1, verse 1 to 10. "God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Verse 4, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For to which of the angels did he ever say, "You are my son, today I have begotten you"? And again, "I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son." But when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all the angels of God worship him, worship Jesus. And we know God is the only one to be worshipped. And Jesus says that, and we'll look at that later too. And of the angels, he says, "Who makes his angel spirits and his ministers a flame of fire?" But to the Son, he says, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever." Notice that, "Your throne, O God," he says that to Jesus. "A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God your God has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. And you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth." Speaking of Jesus as the creator. "And the heavens are the work of your hands." And the next verses was interesting. "They will perish, but you remain." Speaking of the heavens and the earth and some of his creation there. "And they will all grow old like a garment." And I think we see the effects of the sin in the earth. Things deteriorating. Disasters and so forth. "Like a cloak you will fold them up and they will be changed. But you are the same. And your years will not fail." And we know that a new heaven and a new earth is coming. So there will be that change. In Matthew 4 verse 10 it says, and Then Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." He says, "the Lord your God." Jesus didn't say God the Father and him only. He said, "the Lord your God." And it was interesting how Satan, the previous verses to that, tempts the Lord Jesus and brings him to an extremely high mountain and says to him, shows him all the kingdoms of the earth and their glory. And he says to Jesus, "These things I will give to you if you bow down and worship me." And, you know, it's just incredible that Satan would have the audacity to speak to the Lord Jesus, God himself, that he would give him those things. And what a deceiver the enemy is, and how he seeks to destroy and disrupt God's plan. So then if we look at Colossians 1, verse 16 and 17, it speaks of the Lord Jesus. It says in Colossians 1, verse 16, "For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist." John 10, verse 17, it says, "Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again." Jesus could do this because he was and is God. No other being could do that. In John 8, verse 58, Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." And after that, the Jews wanted to stone Jesus because they knew he was In saying that, they knew that Jesus was claiming to be God, which was accurate. We read in Exodus 3, verse 14, and God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Same title as Jesus said before Abraham was, I am. Then we'd like to look at Mark 2, verse 5 to 12. Mark 2, verse 5 to 12. When Jesus, in verse 5, saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven you. And some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus with themselves, he said to them, why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise, take up your bed and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house. So here we see Jesus forgives sins, and only God can forgive sins. So another confirmation that Jesus is God. John said in John 16, verse 15, all things that the Father has are mine. Thomas realized Jesus was God when we read in John 20, verse 28, it says, and Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. He knew that Jesus was God. In John 20, verse 30 and 31, it says, and truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. He is the Savior. He is the one we must trust in. And this is available for all. For it says in Romans 10, verse 13, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And in Acts 4, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. In him is life, eternal life. In Acts 13, verse 38, it says, therefore let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sins. And by him everyone who believes is justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. And we did celebrate that this morning. It's through Jesus that we have received forgiveness of sins. Revelation 4, verse 11, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. Revelation 10, verse 5 and 6, the angel whom I saw standing on the sea and on the land raised up his hand to heaven and swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are in it, the earth and the things that are in it, and the sea and the things that are in it, that there should be delay no longer. In Revelation 19, verse 10, this was John. It says, and I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, and this was the angel, see that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. In Revelation 11, verse 15, then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. Speaking of the Lord Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. 1 Corinthians 15, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the victor. And as believers, we have the victory in him. And may we rejoice in that and stand on the truth of his word and worship him who is the worthy one. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, which is alive and active. We thank you for your precious Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, for all that he has done for us, for the fact that he is all-powerful. He is part of the triune God and the eternal one, the one who is worthy of our worship and praise and adoration, the one who is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. We thank you for your word, which is profitable for us in every way. Continue to teach us, and may we live in the truth of it. Thank you for this time, Lord Jesus. Amen.